reading for today is going to be taken from Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20, from the NRSV version. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of this, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I was speak. And the Lord always blesses the reading of his infallible and precious word.
Today we're going to be talking about the shield of faith. The shield of faith is one of the many parts that Paul the Apostle was talking about. Let's just give a background of what's happening here. So Paul the Apostle, he's in prison, and he's looking at a soldier, we can only assume. And the soldier is completely kitted out. He has the helmet, he has the breastplate, he has all these things that have already been spoken about. And one of the things that he has is a shield. Now, this certain piece of equipment is what we're going to be talking about today, the shield of faith. I'm excited about this message, praise God. Faith is so important. And often in church, we are taught different things about faith. Often we're taught faith in different levels, and often the level that is spoken about is faith for things. We have to raise the level. Now, let me tell you the dangers of having faith for things. Often we will teach, this is how you have faith for a particular issue in your life when it comes. But there's a saying in this world, which I really agree with, that prevention is better than cure. It's far better to walk by faith than need faith in a particular moment when you haven't been walking in the grace in that stretch of time to then hopefully, Lord, please, I need it. It's far better to be consistently walking by faith with the Lord, and in those moments, grace will be available. So I just want to encourage you that I'm not teaching today about faith for the moment, and though there's great need of that at times, I really want to teach at a higher level, faith for every moment. Amen. So the text says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says, above all, take up the shield of faith. What's really interesting, the above all in Greek is epipas. And it doesn't mean what I thought it meant. Above all doesn't mean now the shield is the most important thing. What it actually means is out front. The shield of faith has to be at front of you, which is about position. Faith is a positional thing. Your faith can't be behind you. It can't be to your side. Your faith is at front. And by definition, faith is progressive. Faith moves. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. And what we're going to teach about later on is when you're operating by faith, there's always action. Sometimes the action, not sometimes, that action is works. But that is works of the Spirit. It's very important. Now, works without faith does not equal grace. Let's get foundation sorted out. What I mean by that is this. This is what I hear a lot. Pastor A, I want to do this thing by faith. doesn't work like that. This isn't ice cream and a cherry on top. You can't just say, I want to do it by faith, and it's faith. Faith is either a reality to you or not. You've actually either perceived it from God or you haven't. Faith isn't a worldly desire. It's not a worldly wish. It is a heavenly revelation of something God is communicating to you. And if you've really received it, you will do what the faith is guiding you to do. So let's piece this all together. Faith works is proof that you have received faith. Faith gives you access to grace. I'll say that again. Works, amen. Works. So, okay, I need someone. Ben, come, friend. And Lily's, come. I'm gonna use you all. Ben's not expecting this. I know he's not that guy. Right? Okay, so check this out. Very important. Okay, so Ben's gonna be the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm reading my Bible. Lily's is my Bible. So I'm reading my Bible, right? Now, I'm reading. There'll be a moment when I see something, I've believed it. I won't know when. I can't press a button on me to say, this is what I want to believe. It just happens. When that happens, I want everyone to know, I can't do that by myself. The Holy Spirit with me allows me to take what I've just read, and now I can believe it. Does that make sense? Yeah? Now, what's so powerful with this is that God needs us every day to access this so that we can walk by faith. You see, as a result of seeing this and believing it, now all of a sudden, I won't know it, but by faith, I'll just be doing the things that God has called me to do on that day. All of a sudden, you'll say, oh, you wouldn't believe, I had such an interesting coincidence. God in heaven is saying coincidence. It's not coincidence by faith, it's a setup. Everything God wants you to do by faith. The Holy Spirit is key for all believers to walk by faith. Without engaging the Word and the Spirit, the grace of God that is available for us all will never be tapped into. Amen? God bless you. Thank you. Let's go deeper. The woman with the issue of blood. She had the issue of 12 years. Many people say to me, faith took place the moment she touched. You've heard it, right? The moment she touched. I want to teach it differently today. Faith did not take place the moment she touched. I want everyone to write this down. Grace took place the moment she touched. Faith started at this moment when the Bible says, and she believed that if she just touched the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. You see, guys, you see what happened? You see, she didn't have the word of God, but she saw the word of God in flesh. And she was contemplating, this guy's healing people. This is interesting. He's healing people, he's doing things. As she was meditating on the words, the Holy Spirit, she received, if I touch the hem of his garment. Now look, faith began there. Proof that it was faith, her actions. You with me? This is very important. Faith will always produce actions. So as a result, so let's go contextually here. Contextually, she had an issue of blood, right? You were not allowed to be around people if a woman had an issue of blood. If she was found, she would have been killed. She would have been stoned, legally. So guess what? There was fear available here to be sensed. Side note, whenever faith is an opportunity for you to walk by, fear will be in your face. So with all that context, what she believed was stronger than what she knew. She knew, if I do this and I'm caught, I'm in trouble. But what I've believed to be true, faith, is going to guide me to where the grace has already been made available. As a result, she held on. Grace took place. Teaching, principle. Proof that you're living by faith will be seen often in what you do and what you say. What you do and what you say will be guided by the Spirit. And ultimately, the guiding of the Spirit is what will lead you to the grace that you need. Now, what's important for everyone to know is that God wasn't, this woman has an issue of God. I need to do something. Grace was already available. Everything that you need in your life, all the issues to come that you're unaware of, according to the word of God, the grace has been made available for the situation. So never think your situation is new to God and he needs to cook something up in order to prepare for you. It's prepared already. The grace has been prepared already. The question is, now I can hear you not thinking, okay, if it's prepared already, how come? Where is it? The greatest issue isn't God willing to give? He's already given. The greatest issue, are you willing to take by faith? Let's go deeper into the shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith that Paul talks about is based on a Roman shield. Let's talk about a Roman shield. Now, this Roman shield was made up of lots of stuff, right? But the main thing I want to really talk about is it was like 5 foot long, right? 5 foot tall and about 3 foot wide. And it would have a curve. I wish I could bring it with me. But it was like that. It looked like a door, right? Listen to that. The shield looked like a door. I'll touch on that in a second. So this shield looked like a door. What made this shield was 6 pieces of level. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 layers compressed together. What was really interesting about this shield is that you would have to oil it. Every time, every morning, you'd have to oil it. You'd get the oil on a rag, put the oil on the rag, and really put it into the shield. How interesting. The Romans aren't in on this, but it's symbolic. How interesting that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Just before battle, what they would do, they would take the shield, they would take it into like a ditch of water, and they would let it soak for hours. So that shield, 6 layers of level, would now be fully drenched. So when it was time for war, they would take that heavy shield, drenched in water, thick, for this reason, the fiery darts. There are 3 types of darts that the Bible talks about, or actually really, in warfare. There was a normal dart, like projectile, where it's just a normal, regular arrow, right? You could see it, right? You'd see that one. Then there was a second one where they would dip it into fire, have hay or some type of material, dip it into oil, set it up, shoot it. You would see a fiery dart be hit. The fiery darts that Paul speaks about in Ephesians 6:16 had not gasoline, but something very similar to gasoline. It looked like a normal arrow, but loaded in that arrow was a flammable liquid. You wouldn't see it come. It wouldn't look like fire. But when it hit, fire would go everywhere. The beauty about the shield is that if that arrow came and hit that shield, because if you took part in your morning activity and if you prepared well for war, if that projectile hit the shield, it would not combust in fire because it would be saturated by the water of the shield. And that's what it means when the shield could extinguish the fiery arrows of the enemy. Teaching principle. I want to focus this afternoon that the arrows are thoughts from the enemy. Sometimes we have thoughts that come. And may I add, the thoughts from the enemy can come from all kinds of places. It can come from the words from your friends. It can come from the words of the loved ones. It can come from words from people who don't like you. It can come from situations that you observe. Side note, situations speak. Be careful of the conclusions you make. The wrong conclusion to a situation you're going through, if you make that conclusion and you believe it, could be a fiery dart. Now, I want to be honest with you. I'm talking very spiritually here, so keep with me. What's really interesting about these things in the natural is its connection to the spiritual. If you haven't spent time receiving that fresh touch or anointing from God because of your devotional life is on point, then your shield will not be supple enough for those arrows. If you don't anoint your shield of faith every day, there'll come a day where though you will think you have a shield that is strong, the problem with that shield is that it'll be dry and brittle. And the faith that you thought would be strong enough, you find out is not. How interesting that the water represents the word of God. Timothy talks about the washing of the word of God, or by the water of the word of God. And I want to encourage you, every day, you need to be in that word. You need, I want to say this again, it's worth writing down. You have to be in your word of God. Netflix ain't going to help you. It's not going to help you. In your time of need, you're not going to switch from Netflix on. In your time of need, you're not going to go to your friend's house for the party. You're not going to go to cinema. You're not going to go to a restaurant. In your time of need, you'll realize the most important person who was always there was God himself. So I want to encourage everyone, the word of God is key. Why? Allow that water of God's word to wash over you. That word is going to bring protection in the time of need. You see, the word of God and the spirit of God, when it's combined and believed, produces your shield of faith. We were talking earlier about the darts and the arrows, and we connected it that it was thoughts in life. Any thought, one thing I need to say, not every thought that comes into your mind is yours. Be careful there. I'll say that again. Not every thought that comes into your mind is yours. The problem is, the word of God is like a sieve. You know sieves? The people who don't cook, I've lost you. I can't explain it. Right? The beautiful thing about a sieve, you're cooking spaghetti, is that you can put the spaghetti, pour the pot or spaghetti into the sieve. The sieve will hold the spaghetti and all the water drains out. The word of God is like a sieve. If you don't know, if you're not coming close to the word of God, in fact, no, let me give another example. There used to be a time where people in banks, they didn't have special courses to know what a fake note was. They would just fill real notes all the time. So if you tried to give them lots of money and you slipped in 2 10 Monopoly pounds, without them looking, they'll be checking. You take that Monopoly. You see, my point is this. They would discern what was true and what was wrong because of their consistency of knowing what was right. If you are not in the word, which is a sieve, your sieve will have massive gaps. And things that are not of God, that are not true, will enter into your heart and produce the beginning of the contamination process. How interesting that the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Check this out. I want to scare you in a positive way. Everything in your heart you believe to be true. No one has anything in their heart that they believe that is a lie. You don't think, this lovely lie, I believe this lie, yes, no one does that. Everything in your heart right now you think is true. The problem is not everything in your heart is true. Check this out. If your heart, in a way, is a map to your life and the decisions that you make, your heart is already set up against God's best for your life. If there's error, if there's things in it that's not true, if there's things in it that aren't in line with who God is, that aren't in line with what God has done, that isn't in line with who God says you are, we have to be careful that the foundations of who we think we are is based purely on the finished work of the cross. These are foundations of the faith that allows you to be strong in these moments of warfare. Job said this, "What I have feared has come upon me." Now, many people talk about Job. God, why did you allow that? Let me back God today. Job's biggest issue was a knowledge issue. That's why in the last couple of chapters, you just say, God's just rebuking him. Did you know I done this, done this, done this, done this, done this? What God was saying was, there's many, you know me, but there's many things about me you don't know. Which is one of my teaching points today. It's not about what you know, but what you don't believe about God will often be connected to the issue you're in. I'm going to say that again. What you don't believe, correctly believe about God, will be connected to an issue that you may find yourself in. You may be in that issue for longer than you need to be. Because there's something about God you either did not know or did not believe. And as a result, you couldn't trust him for it. Faith. And you walking by faith. Let's talk about walking by faith. Okay. The Bible says that you have been saved by grace through faith. And as a result of your faith in Jesus Christ, to his grace, the Bible says that you are justified. I want everyone to write that down. You are, I am justified by faith. Justified or justification, I'll simplify it because of time. Justification, I'll simplify it to just as if you have never sinned. In God's eyes, he sees you like that, justified. Another word you could use connected to justified is righteous. In God's eyes, you are right simply because you have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what's really interesting, you've been justified by faith. But Romans 1:17 says this. Please write that down. Romans 1:17 says this. The just shall live by faith. There's two things here. You are justified by faith. Now that you're justified by faith, you should now continue to live by faith. This is where we separate the wheat from the tares. This is where we separate believers and disciples. We are coming into a season where your faith, it's not enough to just have faith in Jesus. Your call as a result of having faith in Jesus is to keep revealing Jesus by faith. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me break that down, simplify it. Christ in you, the expectation to be revealed. It is God's desire for Christ, that life of God that you've received, to be revealed. That's your purpose. I'll say that again. The life of Christ that you've received, that is your purpose to reveal. Faith goes beyond believing in what Jesus has done. Faith continues in the sense of, I believe what he's done, and I believe he's in me. And I believe I'm surrendered. And I believe he's in control. and I believe I'm going to abide. And because I'm abide, I'm going to abide, I'm going to bear fruit. And because I'm going to bear fruit, his name's going to be glorified. Do you see how this all works? You cannot say you just believe. There is a call to continue to walk by faith. The beautiful thing about the shield of faith, let's connect to the Romans again. When the Romans were looking to take over a location or arrest a person, what was really interesting is that as they came against the opposition, listen to this, as they came to the place that they wanted to be, that's where the opposition was. Be careful if there's no dramas of the enemy in your life. If you're walking around saying, hey, yeah, for years, it's been great. Been no spiritual warfare. Why am I even here? There's a chance. You might not be where he wants you to be. Often in the places where he wants you to go and take over, that's where opposition is. So many people say, they say to me, Pastor, hey, I want to get married, you know? I don't know if this is the right person. The reason why they say, I'm not sure if they don't know if it's the right person, is because some of the challenges. Let me speak into someone's life right now. A challenge doesn't mean it's not God's will. This goes way beyond relationships. This is anything. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a financial issue. The challenge doesn't mean it's not God's will. Don't just simply judge it on that level. Often, where God is calling you isn't a place your flesh wants to go. Some of you, by faith, you had to come to church today. My God, thank God. And it was opposition. You got here, you think, out of breath. Who? And the reality is, the opposition was simply because the enemy didn't want you here. There may be opposition in your life. Maybe it's a restoration of a relationship. And you're thinking to yourself, this is way too much. Why is it so much? Let me tell you this, his grace is sufficient. When you're walking with the shield of faith, you can withstand the arrows of the enemy. You can withstand the oppressive effects that the enemy is trying to impart in you. You can withstand by faith. Pastor A, I'm liking this. I'm excited. I believe. How can I operate more so? How can I get more faith? Wrong. You can't get more faith. You can grow in faith, yes, but you can't get more faith. Jesus said, he said this. I was speaking to my wife and she said, how come you use so much visuals? And I said to her, because I was reading the Bible and Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he said, the kingdom of heaven, what can I describe it as? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And when I read that, I thought to myself, Jesus must have been there and he saw a mustard seed and he wanted to explain a heavenly reality to people who've never been. The reason why it's important for us to engage and perceive and receive what God is saying at a heart level is that when God's truth enters our heart, that is the location where faith starts. Never allow what you're going through to be the reason why you choose not to have faith. Faith isn't about how much you have. Faith is simply, are you operating by it or not? All of us in this room have been given a measure of faith, the Bible says. Let's explain it like this. I was born in the 80s. And in those times, as some of you may know, there was aerials on TVs. And depending on, you know, the TV you had in your house would affect if the aerial still looked like an aerial, if you were using, or if you were using like a hanger, right? Those who are laughing, yeah, times have changed, praise God, right? So you'd have to move the hanger in certain positions. Sometimes it's like, you had to, it was only in the oddest positions that you could catch the signal. It would be wrong. Without the antenna, it's impossible to receive a signal that's being sent. Everyone's been given an antenna, faith. Faith to receive. Listen to that. We all have the, listen, we all have the capacity to put our faith in something, to receive, to trust in something. The best way to use your faith isn't in man, isn't in materials, isn't in society, it's in God. God is always speaking. He's always speaking. And that's why the Bible says, the sheep shall hear his voice. And I believe there's going to be a moment tonight, this afternoon, when we need to repent. Maybe you've said, maybe God doesn't speak to me. That's not true. You've been given faith. You have the ability to receive. Maybe your antenna hasn't been in the right position. But when you are positioned correctly, you see, guys, I'm speaking codes. Your devotional life is what moves your antenna of faith. If you haven't been receiving from God, I want you to know, listen, radios. If I'm flicking through my radio channel and I'm looking for 95.8 FM, until I get there, I can't hear it. But 95.8 FM are still releasing signals. God's speaking. You may not be hearing, but don't be disheartened. Why? Because you have the Spirit and because you have the words, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If anyone's struggling to have faith, not to have more faith, if you want to grow in faith, hear the word. The more of what you know about God, the greater level, dimensions of grace you're walking. Your knowledge of God will affect your experience of God. Let me explain that. There's going to be times, my friends, when the arrows are being shot at you. Let me use Lily's again. Actually, no, Ben's ready. Ben's ready. Lily's is taking notes. God bless you. Right? Let's say that Ben is a negative four. Yeah? He's not a negative guy. He's a very positive guy. Now, here's the problem, right? Everyone connects with me to this. Something will happen that's going on in your life. And you'll make the wrong conclusions based on the observation. And as a result, the negative four will lead you to a place that you don't want to go. Often in this place, you'll resort to the comforts of this world to make life bearable. If we connect this to what I'm teaching today, at this moment, say that your shield has been destroyed. The work of fire has destroyed the shield. You're shaking the shield, you dashed it to the ground, and now you're being shot at. What wouldn't have moved you by what that person said at the time they said it, how they said it, now has moved you. Now you're doubting your worth, your value, your significance. Now you're looking back at life. Oh my gosh, what this person said sounds very familiar to what my dad said. And all these things are now flooding back. And you're now in this place of negativity. Listen to the Christian. I want you to know, God doesn't want you to remain here. The only way, and don't say, God, where are you? He's there. But I want to encourage you. Don't resort to the comforts of this world. Resort to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. I'm gifted at teaching. I know it's a blessing from the Lord. But I realize your best preacher, teacher can't be someone on this platform. It has to be you. It has to be you. You have to learn how to preach and teach yourself. There's going to be times when you're in this place of negativity. David was in this place of negativity. He didn't just dwell and accept his feelings based on what he saw or what he was hearing. He believed. He didn't allow his feelings to lead him. He said, the Lord is my strength. I'm loved by God. He is for me. The goodness of God is there for me. I am loved by him. I'm empowered by him. Look at what he's done. And all of a sudden, you strengthen your place into the place that he's called you to always be in. Faith. Listen. The shield of faith, even the shield of faith is so powerful that even after an attack has taken place, in a time when you were defenseless, it's still powerful enough to take you out of the schemes of the enemy. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Feeling sorry for yourself, at best, if you've got nice friends, they'll come, they'll pity party you. Oh, I can't believe he's done that. Oh, and he's a pastor. They'll say all of these things, and you'll say, yeah, it's true. It's true. Let me tell you this. That spiritual examination, you failed. Stop complaining. What do I mean by that? When you complain, you're using your mouth in a way that God's not desiring it to be used. Complaining is a direct rejection of grace. If you're going to use your mouth for anything, use it to praise the Lord. If you're going to use your mouth for anything, let what comes out of your mouth be in line with what he's written. That's what changes the situation. And the situation may not be the person changing. I want everyone to understand the situation. The first change that God wants to bring is how you see it. How you see them, how you see him, how you see yourself. The shield of faith. Faith allows you. Oh, listen to this. Faith allows you to perceive the glory of God. One of the definitions of the glory of God is to see things as he sees it. To see things. So listen to this. Let's go nitty gritty. Everyone here has got some type of family situation. Can I get amen? Hey, that amen was too quick. Right? Everyone's got some type of issue that they're going with. And what I'm trying to say to you is this. God is greater than the situation. And if we set our eyes and fix them upon the author and perfecter of our faith, then he begins to lead us by faith. And all of a sudden, you realize this one powerful thing, that being made alive by the Spirit is different to walking with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Let me break this down. I'm talking here about the foundations of your faith. This teaching is about how can I walk by faith? How can I walk by faith? How can I walk by the Spirit? How can I walk with God? How can I remain in fellowship, right? I want you to know that the moment you believed in the death and resurrection of who Christ is, what he's done, you were made alive by his Spirit. Right? Galatians 5:25 says, though you've been made alive by the Spirit, let us also walk with the Spirit. Which means this. Though you are born again and you have received the divine life of God, step one. Step two is walking with him. And as a result, walking it out. This is very important. Revealing who you are in Christ. Your identity in Christ has to go beyond what the Bible says. What the Bible says about who you are in Christ shouldn't just be known in your mind. It must be experienced. What's so interesting is as you begin to know God and learn about him and experience him, you're actually at the very same time realizing who you are. So if you want to know your true self, draw closer to God. The more you experience of God, the more you reveal of God. The more you reveal of God, the more you realize who you are. The challenges of walking by faith is the power of the senses. What you see in your life, what you've experienced in your life so far, what you hear from people and your situations around you are words that want to guide your motivations, your desires, your expectations, and your goals. To live by faith is as if you live blind to what's going on around you. Jesus was tempted after the 40 days. And with the shield of faith, he successfully contended and defeated the schemes and the wiles of the enemy. I want to encourage everyone that demons aren't getting together and making baby demons. The same demons that have been around are the same demons that are here. They haven't evolved the same tricks. The enemy can't evolve in what he does. He's been doing the same thing. And the reason why I'm saying that to all of you is this. The schemes of the enemy will never change. But the Bible has given us access to his word. And according to this word, the word is here designed to challenge us, to rebuke us, to teach us, to guide us in all things that are right. We've been given stories of Peter, Job, Moses, Abraham. And if your mentality is, I will only change if I experience, don't do that. Change doesn't come because you've experienced bad. I've got friends in their 40s who have been doing the same bad things since their teens. And it's like I'm listening to a show on repeat. Experience doesn't produce wisdom. God gives wisdom. God's desire is for us to walk by wisdom, to defeat the schemes and the wiles of the enemy by his word. What you know about God, what you believe about God, and that word of God in you will be the key to your victory. If we look at the temptation of Jesus, all of his answers were scripture. He just simply quoted it. I want you to know this. This is very powerful. I encourage all of you to come into the word even more than you are, to make a commitment, to read it more, to meditate on it more, to memorize it more. Why? Because in the right time, when that temptation comes, because you've soaked yourself up in the words, when the temptation comes, when the fiery dart comes, that scripture will be spoken out. And because that scripture was spoken out at the right time by faith, it allowed you to walk down that path and plan that God has for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. I want you to know this, friends. That shield of faith was like a door. How interesting, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that Jesus is the one who opens doors that no one can close and closes doors that no one can open. Faith, operating by faith, is like walking through a door that God invites you to live by. That door of faith is the narrow gate. As believers, we have the option each morning to enter two gates. the broad wide gate, and so many people walk through it. Or to put him first, to align our hearts with his, and to walk through that narrow gate. That narrow gate cannot be found through intellectualism. That narrow gate is found by faith. The beautiful thing for a believer is that they are aware that there are two gates. We have been made aware that the most important gate is the gate that Jesus has made a way for. No one can come to the Father except through me. And because we know him, we have access. I can't give a word of knowledge for every situation, but I'll give a general word for all. What's needed in this season in your life? For you to walk by faith. Believing that God is faithful. Believing in his promises. Believing in what he's done. See, these are the things that you need to know in order for your trust in him to be even deeper. Let me help you. How can I grow in faith? Step one, know the names of God. The names of God reveal what he has done and what he's willing to do. Here's an interesting one. You don't hear it that much. Know God's values. Google it if you want. Right? What are his values? You see, your values are the foundations that your character stands on. If someone sees you as that person, he's so caring, it's because they're revealing through their character, through their behavior, a value. So know God's values. Know God's nature. Know what God has done for you. Death and resurrection. Know what God says about who he thinks you are. And if I haven't said it before, know his promises. Another one. Final one. Know his commands. And for those A-star students, know his teachings. You see, the more you know in your heart about God, the more of God you will reveal to the world. In every moment, we call it faith, but really, I want you to understand, faith isn't just something you do. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is a way of living. And as a result, you're living in a way God would live. And because you're living in a way that God would live, you are revealing God. By faith. I want to invite the worship team. You see, there's teachings like this that I believe require a response. You see, what I said earlier is that when you've received faith, there's always an action. If there's no action as a result of today's message, and the only action was, yo, that message by Pastor A, yeah, it was good, yeah, excellent. If that's your response, that's not faith. You've simply made an intellectual, emotional response to what was being taught. What is far greater is, did you hear what God was saying to you? We're coming into a season, my friends, where the lifestyle of faith will be necessary. We're living in a world where the attacks of the enemy are non-stop. They come through friends, they come through family, they come through social media, they come through TV, they come everywhere. And it's only faith that's going to protect us. Realize, my friends, that today's message is more than that saving faith in Jesus you have. That there is a walk by faith response that I'm believing God is calling us all to do. I was teaching the youth this afternoon. They said, Pastor, hey, what can we do to walk by faith? And I said to them, this thing that I'll say to you. Stay in love with God. Think about that. The Bible says that faith works through love. If you want to walk by faith, fall in love with Him. How can I fall in love with Him? Know more about Him. I'm telling you, do a study on the goodness of God and what He says about Himself, and you will say to yourself, yeah, I don't mind that, James. It's worth putting my trust in someone who has these attributes. Falling in love with God, my friends, is the key. You can evangelize, you can prophesy, you can heal the sick, you can show the power of God all day long, and I thank God for that. And that's one level for sure. But without love, we've missed the most important thing. To walk by faith, you can't bite your tongue and say, by faith, I'm going to try and be better. That will work for about a day. To walk by faith means that your will be done in my life. You have to convince yourself by that word that He loves you more than you love yourself. And once you've accepted that, you realize that His will for you, therefore, is greater than the will that you have for yourself. And if that be true, then I'm all in. I trust you. I trust that you know all things. I trust you have the best for me. And that trust, my friends, hear this well. That trust in Him, that faith, that is what the enemy attacks. You think it's your auntie, you think it's your uncle, you think it's your financial situation, you think it's your job situation. Those things are simply connected to your trust in God. The attack is you trusting Him, not the things of this world. I tell you this,